For my husband, he's been working another job and works on Saturday night till gets home at 10:30. And so he gets a break this morning. Can we appreciate what our pastor is doing? This morning, I'm going to share a message, and it's the message title is a question. Are you angry? Darn right I am. No, I'm just teasing. Are you angry? And what anger looks like and what it can do to our life. I'll tell you something so funny. I spent a whole day, 8 hours, writing this sermon. And then Cedric forgot a cord for me that he was supposed to get. And on the phone, I got mad at him. And I said, oh my goodness, Cedric, I studied all day long about how to not be angry, and in 1 second, and I wasn't like flipping mad, but I was just a little mad. And I said, goodness sake. So on the phone, we had to pray, and I had to ask him to forgive me and ask the Lord, and then I went to teach, and we had one of the most wonderful women's nights. But you think it's not in you, but it can come up quick, right? It can pop up quick when you least expect it. There was a lady, this is a true story, she graduated from an institute called Mercy Multiplied. What a great name. It's a Christian rehab program in Missouri for women, and it helps them break free from controlling behaviors. Anything that controls us besides the Holy Spirit isn't going to be good for us. She shared what I consider to be an eye-opening testimony. She said that when her father committed suicide as a teenager, she was, I think, 15 or 16 years old, the pain of what he did spiraled her into drinking and taking drugs. And her life, from the moment that her father took his life, she became addicted uncontrollably to alcohol and to drugs to try to overcome the pain. When she entered into Mercy Multiplied and she began to share her story with her counselor, she realized that she was drinking and she was doing drugs because she was so angry that her father took his life and valued death over his family. And when she began to work through forgiving her dad, guess what? She had no desire to drink and do drugs. When she forgave him for deserting her, she was set free. And she became a woman of prayer and worship. Can we give God praise? That's a true story. And so as I'm sharing God's word with you and just sharing some Christian counseling principles with you, feel free to just let the Lord come and move over your heart. And God knows that we as human beings are going to struggle with anger and hurt. We really are. But he has answers. Isn't that great? He has answers. In fact, he is the answer. There are so many times that we have issues in our life because we're angry and we don't even maybe even know it. The root of so much anger is actually being angry at God. Did you know a lot of people are angry at God and it's hard for them to admit that? Maybe they're angry because their lives haven't turned out the way they thought it should go. The road hasn't been the path they thought it should be. They're hurt, they're disappointed, and that leads to anger. Joyce Meyer is someone that's overcome more than most of us will ever experience in our life. She was sexually abused by her father for 17 years. Her father even sold her to local policemen. You might not know that. She's literally the most powerful woman speaker in the world right now. And her mother was terrified of her father and let this abuse happen. Joyce actually led her father to Christ and bought him a home. and took care of him. That was the degree that she let go of that anger. Isn't that, it's truly an amazing story. But she says that anger is only one letter away from danger. One letter away from danger. Benjamin Franklin has a wonderful quote. He says, "Whatever is begun in anger ends in shame. Anger is never without a reason, but it's seldom a good one." We must become aware of any anger issues that we have because it's dangerous. It will create damage in our life. It will hurt us, and it will hurt everyone around us. Amen? I realized that the Lord needed to touch this area in my life when I was out walking with a dear friend, and she began to tell me something that was going on, and something that was going on to bring harm to me. She wasn't harming me, but she was warning me. And I got so upset that when I was going to go home, I backed my car into her stone wall. Thank you, Lord, it did not hurt the wall, but it hurt my car, and it hurt my wallet. And I realized, whoa, I've never backed into anything ever before, but my emotions were shaken. Have you ever had that happen? Maybe not back your car, but something got hurt or something got damaged because you were hurt inside. It caused me to want to do a concentrated study on it, because I know that a knowledge of God's word and faith and trust in God's word is really the only path to true healing. It really is. There is no pill, there is no drink that will cure the soul. God's word and faith in God's word cures you on from the inside out. Anger arises when we feel our needs aren't met. Amen? If you've had a childhood experience that left you feeling like you had no worth, that will also rise up if you feel like someone is blocking your goal. So if your needs aren't met, if as a child you were made to feel that you weren't worth anything, or if you feel like someone is opposing what you feel you need to do in your life, it can create anger. I looked up the definition of anger in Webster's. It is a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. A strong feeling of antagonism. Feelings of fury, indignation, rage, implying deep injustice and wrongdoing. Often provoked when a feeling of personal boundaries are crossed. Many times the emotion behind anger is self-preservation. Our anger shows up when we feel violated. Anger can be defined as trying to, number one, preserve your personal worth, preserve your essential needs, and to preserve your basic convictions. This is why if people without the love of God and without really wanting to hear, if they get into a political fight, it's blown up families, right? It's blown up churches. Because once anger sets in and people feel that those three areas are violated, people stop listening, right? And then it's just a shouting match. And that is literally the door for the devil to come in and come in fast. Anger is usually ignited when we perceive rejection, invalidation, or whether or not the messenger of that intended to harm us in that way. A lot of times people don't, but we can perceive things from the lens of our childhood. Amen? And the angry person feels that their dignity has been demeaned. Well, my son and I love to laugh together. We, in fact, our family, we love to laugh, and Cameron is always finding me funny clips of funny things, and I ask him to find me, because I, this one movie, Kicking and Screaming, with Will Ferrell, the coffee scene, is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life, and Adam, if you'll pull it up, I want you to see full-blown anger and how irrational it gets, okay? Here we go.
Ooh, I don't know, the Irish cream sounds good, huh? What's that?
It's cream and it's Irish.
Hurry up and order!
Excuse me. Thank you. How about a smoothie? What's in that?
Smoothie's a juice drink. We want coffee.
Buddy, relax.
No, you relax. I'm a regular here. This line needs to move.
I beg your pardon. Do you have scones?
Tall, non-fat, double latte.
Sir, you're at the back of the line.
I recognize that.
Cut it out or you're out of here.
You can't kick me out.
You know what? You're really invading my ear space.
Look, I'm a frequent coffee drinker. I'm part of the club. I have a card. Do you have a card? Do you have a card?
No, I don't have
Does anyone here have a card?
We don't have frequent drinker cards.
That's a video club card.
Ah! Zip it there, Sporty Spice.
Are we doing this?
Oh.
Is this happening now?
Yeah, want to
Great,
go.
I'd love to.
Let's do it.
You're hurting me! You're hurting me! What is wrong with you, Derek? I thought we were friends!
My name is Andy!
Your name is Liar, because you're telling lies! You know what the odds are? I will never come back here again! There's a good chance of that!
That's a chance we'll have to take!
Okay, that's how you want to play it!
Okay!
I am disappointed!
God!
Well, there you go. I love coffee, but not that much. Oh, goodness. I think it was a movie card he had, too. They didn't even have a coffee card. Anyway, I want to give you some scenarios, just some basic everyday life scenarios that people feel. One is perhaps someone is a stay-at-home wife, and the nonstop 24-hour job that she's doing, right, isn't... There's not a monetary dollar attached to it, but she's grocery shopping, cooking, might be homeschooling for all we know, organizing, planning vacations. If this was for a major corporation, the dollar amount would probably start about $60,000. But she feels the value of her children and her home. But she doesn't feel acknowledged. She doesn't feel thanked. She doesn't feel that her contributions to her family have value. So anger, depression can set in for this woman. Let's say a salesman at a company performed his quota beyond everyone else in the company, only to have the new guy that came in and messed everything up that he trained got the raise. He feels devalued because he's in his late 50s. Even though he's bringing in the money, he's doing the training, he feels that his value is slipping away in this company, and he feels angry and cast aside. Let's say there's two teenage boys. All their father does, the only way he speaks to them is he yells at them. And he always criticizes. He never tells them what's great about them or recognizes what awesome things they're doing. Communication always ends with them going to their room, slamming their door, and talking to each other about how severe he is, how angry he is. They're hurt, they're angry, but most of all three scenarios, people feel abandoned emotionally. Amen? Those are scenarios in life that might touch a nerve. They might not, but they might help you understand something else that makes you feel that way. But what's really important is to pinpoint in life days and times and places where you feel happy. To figure out, why do I feel joyful? Why do I feel happy? Why do I feel affirmed, understood, accepted? Why do I feel like I can bond in this situation? at that time, when you feel like that, it's like you're in your happy place. And it's like in bold print, all is well. And it's important to know when and where you feel like that and why. And did you know that it's okay to choose environments like that? It really, really is. Anger is always provoked, whether the message was intended or not. Anger is provoked when you don't feel that your worth is of anyone's concern. That is the root of anger. Let me ask you some questions. Have you felt devalued? As a child, were you told that you had worth? It's really important to think that through, because I'm coming with good news. Do you like good news? Christianity has the best news. There is no better news than what God offers, and He offers great hope. If you felt devalued as a child, or you feel devalued now, God's word clearly says from Genesis all the way to Revelation that God's word places a high value on each person who calls on Him. That's what God is asking us to do, is to call on His name. And He says the minute that you call on His name, your Father in heaven says, I'm here. I sent my Son. He died for you. He covers you. And when you're calling out to God, Jesus becomes your attorney. And He is interceding and praying for your communication with the Father to go well. And all of heaven is saying, you are treasured by God and you can go to God. Did you know that God places a high value on you even when you make mistakes? You're not really loved if you have to perform to get the love, right? But if even when you mess up, you know that the same amount, the love didn't get smaller because you messed up. The love actually got bigger. That's called grace. It's called mercy. Did you know that the more value you feel in your life from the Lord, the more value you will transfer over onto other people? When it comes to making mistakes, I love this scenario. All of us feel very holy when we're laying in our bed in the morning and we're praying, right? We feel very holy. We feel very connected to the Lord. But then here's the caveat. When we wake up and we get out of bed, we actually have to interact with human beings. And that's where it all falls apart, and we start making our mistakes, right? And all of our buttons can get pushed. And we could have felt so perfect and so precious. And, you know, your love is so deep. It's more than a road rage, right? Right? Because when we're in the bed, you know, and we haven't been tempted by chocolate and almonds, we feel so full of self-control, right? But the second that you make a mistake, the second that I got upset with Cedric because he didn't know where the cord was, that was the second I ran to God's love. That was the second I repented, and His love came in even stronger. You know, when Peter denied Jesus 3 times before He was crucified, and he was hiding in a corner of shame. Jesus named all the disciples, and then did you know he gave Peter an extra dose? He said, and Peter, who had cut off the ear, denied his Lord three times. Peter was an angry dude. He was an angry, aggressive dude. Did you know that if we did a job description and a job search, all of the disciples probably would not have been hired at a corporation except for Judas? He was the highest qualified. Jesus can most work through broken, silly people who are humble and need that extra dose of love and don't quit on God. Judas was a people pleaser. He liked both sides. He was the highest qualified, but he hung himself. So take heart. If you feel like you're always walking into a buzzsaw, ask God for an extra dose of grace and just don't quit. Can we give God a praise? Amen. Just don't quit. King David had every amount of money and gold and riches and fame. He had enough for 10 men, 10,000 men. He was rich. He was famous. He was admired for being a warrior. But even King David struggled with the idea that he might be of value to his creator. He wrote in Psalm 8, 4 and 5, "What is man that you are mindful of him? Human beings that you care for them." And the Lord reassured David, "You have made them a little lower than the angels and crown them with glory and honor." Can you just put your hand on your head? Say, "I'm crowned with glory and honor." And it doesn't say how much hair you have. You're just crowned with glory and honor. Amen. Amen. My friends, we can manage our emotions with grace and dignity when our worth and our value comes from God. I love what Pastor said one day. He said, God created every human being with worth and dignity. They have it. Whether you acknowledge that or not, if someone is white, if they're Asian, if they're Hispanic, if they're black, it doesn't matter. They're crowned with glory. They're crowned with honor, and they have dignity from heaven, and that's why it's so important as a church that we give that value to every single person, 89 years old, 9 years old, newborn, all everything in between, crowned with glory and honor. We can manage our emotions towards a person when we realize the value that they have in God's eyes. It's not just enough to intellectualize our God-given worth. We have to choose to accept our worth. It's not based on whether our parents gave it to us or a teacher gave it to us. And let me tell you something. Stop trying to convince everyone of your worth, because that is an effort perpetuated by anger. Can I say that again? When we try to convince everyone around us that we are worth something, that is an effort perpetuated by anger. When we cling to God and we get our value from God, we can wake up in the morning and say, I have worth. My King, who died for me, crowned me with glory and honor, and I can give that glory and honor, peace and love and joy to everyone that I meet. All humans have a basic survival need. They're very complex. The Bible recognizes this fact and instructs us in many what I call the one another's. Can you say one another's? We even have a song we sing, love one another. There's many one another's. Let me read some of them to you. We are told to love, to bear one another's burdens, right? To encourage, to confess our sins to, and to respect one another. That's a community, right? That's living in the family of God. All of these verses address the basic human needs that we have, and if these needs are not satisfactorily addressed, our emotions and our well-being will suffer, and we will feel violated inside, and we'll get angry. I'll tell you my five basic needs. I love to be encouraged. I love to feel close to God. I love to have time to be creative, and that creativity usually flows from a long-distance exercise, like out on my bike, out on a long walk. The creative juices start to flow. I love to feel loved by my husband and my kids and included in major decisions so that there's unity. The number five is respect. My husband's top two needs are encouragement and affection. He likes to have a cheerleader. I'm your cheerleader. A busy person could have a need to have things happen fast, so they could have a tendency to be short and bark out orders, which doesn't make people feel crowned with glory and honor, right? So a lot of times a person that needs things fast and done quick has to learn to dial it back. If there's a laid-back person, they may have a need to have someone help stimulate them to more stimulating activities. All people have different backgrounds, and everybody's adulthood was colored by a different childhood. But every single person's need is important. I love for our family to pray together. I like to experience God's presence with my husband and my children. My husband doesn't have that same level of need for that because he likes personal time with the Lord. It's not that he doesn't like family time. But between the two of us, I've been encouraged more in my personal walk, and he's been more encouraged in a family setting because he didn't grow up in a Christian home. So learning to have Bible studies together, learning to pray together, make decisions together, we kind of balance each other out. Now let me tell you something. When you feel a weariness that your basic needs aren't met, it will cause anger. If you're harboring hope that those needs will be met and it feels uncertain, it feels hopeless that it will never happen. If you're attaching your hope to a person making that happen, you're going to be a person that experiences extreme highs and extreme lows. Can I say that again? If you're attaching your hope to a person to make your basic needs met, it's going to cause extreme highs and extreme lows. Did you know that time alone with God stabilizes our life? He is the stabilizer. God is never unstable. Can I get a big amen? Isn't that comforting that you don't have to wonder what mood God is in? He just loves you. And he says that you can draw strength from him. The Bible says he never grows weary. He never grows tired. So when you wake up and you got to go to work and you're tired, you can say, God, Today, you are my strength. I draw my strength from the one who will never grow weary. That is so comforting to me. Isn't that incredible? Think about that. He never has to sleep. That's why when you cry at 2 o'clock in the morning, he's not too tired for you. You haven't worn him out. He's always available, and that will stabilize us. Amen? But when we put our hope in people, the Bible says it will lead to shame. Why? Because the person you're putting your hope in has their issues too. And you could be leaning on a three-legged table and demanding that they be God, and no one can. Now, we need one another. Why? To encourage us to never quit. To remind each other that we're covered. Our head is literally covered and crowned with glory and honor. And when we remind one another of that and we lift one another up with that, it's not that we're leaning on each other, but we're relying on God together. Isn't that a different scenario than demanding from a person? Because that's called codependent. We're supposed to be completely dependent on the grace and the love of God, and that will comfort us. There's a reason why it says comfort and joy. When you feel comforted, you have joy. Amen? If you are harboring that hope that some person will come into your life and make it all right, you've been tricked by the enemy of your soul. Because Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, for I'm gentle and humble of heart. That's the heart of God. Philippians 4, verse 19 says, and my God, can you say my God? And you can say that very possessively, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God is trying to get us to shift our focus from a human being supplying our need to God being our main source. Everyone here probably has something that only God can fix. Maybe someone in your family is ill and it's terrified you. God says, come to him. He's a healer. Maybe you're afraid that someone in your family will never come to Christ. Keep praying. Keep seeking. The Lord says that when you seek him, you'll find him. And it says that in the Lord's presence is life forevermore. Literally, his presence is life. And if you have anger, it will keep you from just melting into the Lord's arms and letting him take care of it. I'll give you an example. I was on the road, and I had landed in L.A., and I had been ill-advised that the car rental place I was at was the airport car rental. So I took the bus to the Hertz airport car rental, only to find out when I'm up at the after the long line, I'm at the cash register, I'm ready to get my keys, and they tell me, oh, dear me, Luann, this is an airport that's going to take a taxi that's going to take you to a train, and the train ride is going to have to take you to another place, and another taxi will then take you to that place. And I was going to miss the concert I was supposed to give, and I didn't have the time, I didn't have the money, and it said that I couldn't get my money back. And I'm helpless at that moment. But I wasn't, because I had the Lord. And I remembered that scripture He who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, from the book of James. So I literally said to the lady at the cash register, could you give me just 60 seconds? I need to pray because God will tell me what to do. And she said, whatever. And I prayed. And God said, that lady right over there to the left with the blonde hair, the ponytail, and the glasses, she was the meanest lady in the room. And I was like, he said, go to her. That's your answer. So I told the lady at the cash register, I think I'm just going to go over to customer service and I'm going to get some help. That lady canceled and got my money back. She gave me her employee rate and let me pick my car. Can we give God the glory? I went to my dad. I went to my father. And instead of freaking out and getting angry and screaming on the phone at the person that ill-advised me, I just said, God, help me. I got upgraded from an ugly little, I'm not going to say the name in case someone has this car, but anyway, it was ugly and it was embarrassing and that's why it was so cheap. I got a fully loaded silver Camry, brand new from my father in heaven. Didn't cost me. It was incredible. Because he never grows weary. And he's full of wisdom and he's for me and he's for you. Amen? So my God supplies my needs. He supplies your needs. When we get our worth from trusting in God's love, God's provision, and his comfort, it will stabilize us. Depression is described as taking our anger, bottling it up, and holding it, harboring it. You know how a boat harbors, goes into harbor, and it holds there. Depression is taking your anger and holding it in. It will cause sickness, anxiety, lack of sleep, rage. The depressed person will say, I'm not angry, as they're screaming. And they will lash out. But when we look to the Lord, he brings a balance. I want to read you something, and it'll be up here on the screen. Balance is found when anger is linked to a reasonable issue and is communicated in a proper manner. Can I read that again? Balance is found when we take our anger and we link it to a reasonable issue and we communicate it in a proper manner. When we begin to understand why we feel the way we do, and we begin to grasp just how high, how deep, and how wide the love of God is, then we can detect when we're vulnerable, right? And when we're vulnerable, we can feel it. Because anger will start to rise up, and that's your vulnerable point. It's like a signal in a car, right? Like a light comes on. I needed an oil change, and my light came on. That signaled an issue that needed to be taken care of, right? Well, anger is that light, and so you want to stop. And you want to say, like I did in that car rental place, I was vulnerable. But I went to my Savior, who's all-powerful. He holds all the cards. And he stabilized me. The Bible warns in Corinthians 8:1 that knowledge puffs us up. But love builds a person up. When our communication with God is rooted in love, then the more and more our communication with people will be done in love. Let me ask you something. Do people feel lifted up because you've told them that they're precious? Have you told people that you appreciate them? Have you told people that they're special? Do they feel you don't have time for them? In order to be free from anything, we have to face the truth and take responsibility. Blaming other people, blaming the hard life, blaming our circumstances is not going to let us grow. Can we say together, in all honesty, I want to grow? That was really anemic. I wake up every day and I tell the Lord, I want to grow. Growing hurts. That's why most people don't want to do it. I don't mind it. I'd rather grow than go. I'd rather grow than blame. I'd rather humble down so that I don't just keep going around the desert. I really want God to grow me. You'll never grow with excuses. You'll never grow blaming, and you will never grow feeling sorry for yourself. I love you so much, but I would so rather you be powerful than pitiful. Amen? Can your heart receive that? No matter how difficult your situation, you've got to decide. On one hand, you'll sink like a stone if you're filled with pity. But you will have the power of God. And it's not a power that makes you prideful. In fact, it's the type of power that makes you have to pray about everything. Because your power is coming from Him. Your decision making is coming from Him. And it's got to fit the Word. When it's God's power, remember, it makes you want to be a servant. It makes you want to wash someone's feet. It makes it okay to be in there sweeping the floor. Scrubbing a toilet is just more time alone with God. It's not a power that you rule over people, but it's a power that causes you to serve because your strength and your help comes from the Lord. Amen? John 8:31 through 32 teaches us that if we abide, can you say abide? Abide in Christ, continually obeying His teaching. Guess what? Abiding isn't just hanging out with Jesus. It's obeying Him. I'll tell you something God's been doing. He's been putting a church on my heart. And He's been telling me deep in my soul what that pastor needs to hear, a word of encouragement. He's been telling me the amount to write the check. And you need to understand that right now, my husband's pretty much not getting paid because of the level of tithe. Because people aren't tithing their full amount. My husband's not getting paid, but God's telling me, don't get angry. Pay other pastors. So I've gone to my third church now. I have not felt so much joy as I feel in that. And I feel miracles. Wonderful things are coming. And I have enjoyed writing the card and obeying the Lord with the check. And the Facebook messages of appreciation, what it meant at the right time, at the right place. I'm sowing seed. Did you know that abiding in God is obeying when you don't have the miracle yet? Abiding in God is when things aren't fair and things aren't right, but you're still obeying because you know in due time you will receive a harvest. I know He's good. So anything He tells me to do is good. You know, when the widow had lost her husband And it was her and her little boy. And they were down to the last bit of flour and the last bit of oil. Did you know what that prophet told that lady to do? Bake a cake for him. Now, people would think, what a mean old prophet. That was her last bit of oil. That was her last bit of flour. But she baked it for the man of God, and God took her jars. She went and got as many jars as she could, and he filled them with oil. And it was a lifetime of wealth for her because she baked the cake for the man of God. Her last, she said, we will eat this and we will die. He said, let me tell you something else. Bake it for me and you will live. That's abiding. She abided in God because abiding is obeying, and we get tested the most with our giving and with our attitude. We will know who we are by our giving and our attitude. Obeying is abiding. So let's read it again with that backdrop. Jesus teaches us if we abide in Christ, continually obeying his teachings, we will know the truth. Why? Because know, this is in an intimate way that we know, the way that a man knows his wife, we will know God. And it will set us free. Did you know that obedience sets you free and disobedience brings depression? We can go to God when we're angry. We can pour our heart out to him. We can tell him it's not fair. I don't understand. But God, I'm not letting go of you. I'm not letting go of you because you're everything to me. You can take a few moments with the Lord every day and you can pray something like this. I need your help, God. I need your help. I need your help to take my anger. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your power in my life, Holy Spirit. You can ask God, deliver me from hurtful, foolish feelings that are going to lead to danger, that want to sabotage and wreck my life. Spend time with God and then open your ears and your heart to what he has to say. I want to read you something, and Adam, it wasn't in your notes, but God prompted it in my heart this morning. This is in Isaiah, but it was a prophetic word about Jesus on the cross. It's in chapter 50, and it starts in verse 5. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me. Do you understand? Nobody made Jesus do that. He had the power to smoke them right there. He offered his back to those who beat me. He offered his cheek to those who pulled out his beard. I did not hide my face from them mocking and spitting. Here's why. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Can you say that out loud? He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. So who can condemn me? They will wear out like a garment, and moths will eat them up. Why was Jesus able to endure his back beat, his beard pulled, spit in the face and mocked because his vindicator was near. He was close to God. God took care of him. And let me tell you, no one was more surprised than those who spit on him and mocked him and beat him. Can you imagine when he came rising out of that grave? Woo! Uh-oh. Your vindicator, your avenger, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. God is near. He is more near than you think. And when people mock you and hurt you and despise you and reject you, Jesus will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. But more than that, he will avenge you. Can we give God praise? In order to be free from anything, we have to take responsibility. Abide in Christ. Pour your heart out. Decide to trust him so that you can make positive and healthy decisions. The heart that trusts in God is a peaceful, strong heart. Ask God to uproot resentment. You know, I pull weeds in my yard, and if I can't get to the root, I'm going to be pulling up that same weed again. And I'm just working and working and working. But if I take the time, and it takes more time to get the root, so I don't get as many weeds in one day. But when I dig and I get the root, that weed doesn't keep popping up. The Bible says, uproot resentment, negative thoughts, bitterness. Ask him in its place. You can't just uproot it, but you have to have a replacement. Ask him to pour his love and his grace into you. Did you know that God himself washes away your guilt, your mistakes? Did you know that he's not angry at you? He can't be angry at you and rescue you at the same time. He's saying, people that are angry don't ask you to come near. He loves you. If he's done with your past, you've got to be done with your past. Proverbs 29:11. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Proverbs 12:16. A fool's anger is known at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. Proverbs 15:1. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but one who is patient calms a quarrel. Isn't our pastor patient? Always calm. It's beautiful. Proverbs 37:8-9. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed. Remember, anger, danger. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Ephesians 4:26, get rid. Now, we're cleaning out our house here in God's house. We're cleaning it out. We're getting rid of stuff. So if you're going to clean out your temple, get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Have you ever noticed when you're angry, that's the door to slander? It's my hope that you will decide that your worth is from God. If you know that your worth is from God, you'll go to Him. When you know your worth is from God, you can't wait to get to church because you're going to find out more about who He is. And the more you know Him, the more you'll love Him, the more you'll trust Him, the more you'll find comfort in Him. God is full of love. He's full of grace. He's full of mercy and peace. If you start your day with those thoughts, and then you wake up and you look in the mirror and you say, oh my goodness, He's crowned me with glory and honor. He's given me worth. I'm His treasure. When He shed His blood, when He put Himself on that cross, He gave His life in exchange for mine. He bought me with His life. He bought you with His life. Did you know that history is recorded? Not only did He die, but He rose again. It's a historical fact. They don't know what to do with it, but it's the truth. God crowns you with glory and honor. You have worth. You have value. When you know that you have value, you can have rich friendships. You can have a rich walk with God. Did you know that the need to always be right is what will lead to mostly being wrong? Would you rather be kind? Would you rather let a person know they have worth even if you don't agree with them? Can you say, you know, can we agree to disagree, but I sure love you, and I hope it won't affect our friendship. I hope that I can learn from your side and you can learn from mine, but I don't have to be right and put you down to feel that I have value, and you sure have value to me. When we talk to people like that, we're building bridges, and more than likely, they'll come to know Christ. I want to close just telling you that you have value to me. When you write your prayer requests down, I pray every day. I think about it. When I'm on my bicycle, I Rolodex through my mind, try to get a picture in my mind. Sometimes I'll pull up on my phone and I'll pull over and I'll read it through. I'll think, Lord, could you please bring such and such the job she needs? She needs it, Lord. She's got to pay her bills. Lord, such and such is struggling with their health. Heal them, strengthen them. Don't let them grow discouraged. Such and such is pulling back from church because they're hurting in their family, they're hurting in their marriage. God, please let humility fill that home so they can be healed, so they'll come to you. Because your life has value to me. You have worth to me and to my husband. But how much more do you have worth in the eyes of God? How much more does what you're going through matter to Him, because He formed you in your mother's womb? And He said you were fearfully and you were wonderfully made. And because He was acquainted with sorrow and He was acquainted with grief, He understands you, He gets you. And if I'm interceding for you sporadically, but Jesus is ever interceding, how much more does he love you? Can you close your eyes? And I want to pray for you. I want to bless you. Father, I bring your people before you. It's on my heart that a young man's mother needs healing in her body. She needs it in her heart. I pray, God, strengthen her heart. It's on my heart, Lord, that there's a couple here that they're beside themselves with anguish because of the turmoil in their family. I pray the word humility. Come and heal and touch that family. I pray for the single mom who's exhausted. And she literally has to draw her strength from the one who never grows weary, who never grows tired. I pray for the one whose very own family mocked and put them down. And it left them crushed, and the pieces of their heart are shattered. I thank you, Lord, that you restore and you pick up each piece of our heart and you put it back together with your love. Help them to forgive so that they can be powerful in you. Help the one who's hurting from their mistakes, and the first half of the life, it's brought pain and disappointment, but the second half of the life can be everything that you ever dreamed for them, God. I know the plans you have for them to prosper and not to harm and to bring a hope and to bring a future. Lord, I pray healing from the anger. And now, because the love of God is filling this room, I just want to invite you that if you've never personally asked Christ into your heart to be your Lord, because he died for you to forgive you, he rose again to save you, and to give you eternal life. Today, you can open your heart to the one who never grows weary and allowed his back to be beaten for you. And if you want to pray that prayer, would you lift your hand and I'll pray it with you today, if there's anyone today. Amen. I see that hand. Church, pray with me. Dear Jesus, come into my heart and forgive my sins and empower me to forgive those who harm me. I want to live for you for eternity. Come and be my Lord. And I will abide with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just keep your eyes closed. I want to pray for those who the message today is encouraging you to trade the old way, trade the anger, the depression, the resentment that has held you a prisoner. And that finding out that your worth comes from your King. That you're going to be able to forgive and move forward in your life. Can you just lift your hand? Amen. 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 Oh God, I pray that the scripture that you crown your people with glory and honor, That it doesn't come from other people, that it comes from you and no one can take it. Seal your word in their heart so they can be free. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give God a praise? Amen. Amen. Well, it's a beautiful Sunday in Jesus, and we're going to have Pastor pray for our offering. And as we take our offering, we're going to sing that song, I Want to Sit at His Feet, drink from the cup in His hand so He can comfort us. Amen. Amen.
All right. Do you guys appreciate Pastor Luann?